All right, welcome back to AM 1170's Between the Lines program. Coming in shortly, National Weather Service meteorologist Ben Herzog will talk about the spring-like weather that's in store for us this weekend. How long is it going to last? How warm is it going to get? And on the final segment of the show, retired Ripon College political science professor Marty Farrell will get his reaction to a presidential press conference unlike any other. Donald Trump's first press conference yesterday was amazing to watch. We'll talk with Professor Farrell about that on the final segment of the show. A couple of incidents this week in the city of Fond du Lac of major concern. One happened last night, a shooting incident, a suicidal man firing a gun inside a Fond du Lac home. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. And a day or two before that, there was a high-speed chase that went into a residential neighborhood in Fond du Lac. Joining us on this segment of the show, Fond du Lac Police Chief Bill Lamb. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Greg.
Let's start with what happened last night. You folks got a 911 call around 10:30 that there was someone inside a home on 11th Street who was suicidal, intoxicated, and firing the weapon?
Right.
What happened?
Well, you've pretty much laid out the foundation there. Adding to that a little bit, the female subject and another male individual that were in the house were able to lock themselves in another room. Responding officers, patrol division officers, established a perimeter around the house. SWAT team was activated. But prior to the SWAT team arriving on scene, their response time is pretty quick. The patrol division members that had responded were able to safely and successfully resolve that without anybody being injured or further incident.
Did the guy surrender?
Yes, he did.
All right. Do you know how many shots he fired? Or
No, I don't have any of those specifics right in front of me. And to the extent that some parts of the investigation are still continuing, I wouldn't be able to elaborate much further on that anyhow.
He wasn't shooting directly at the other two people in the house, was he?
I'm not sure right now, Greg.
Okay. Do you know what prompted this?
Well, just that information that's been released, that the individual was despondent and perhaps intoxicated. So that can be a pretty painful combination.
Yeah. Have you had any other situations like this, domestic calls to this residence in the past?
I don't have any background at my fingertips on that particular address.
Okay. Bottom line is, this happened shortly before 10:30, and he was into custody in just a few minutes after.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that, I'll take the opportunity to point out that's the third SWAT call of that, let's call it general nature, in just the past few weeks.
I know.
And that's, I don't want there to be lost the significance of that. Of course, something that that we as a community should be concerned about, because if you look at most of these incidents, they involve domestic violence, and we know that domestic violence is one of the greatest contributing factors to violent crime in our community. Now, on the positive side of that, Greg, all three of those are examples where, literally every time you have a situation like that, you have to understand that to some extent, life and death is in the balance, right?
Yeah.
And, when you look at the, and not just these three incidents, but, rolling back and looking at virtually all of them, the bravery and the effectiveness and the skill and response that we consistently see our people put forth is something pretty special. And I hope the community fully realizes that and appreciates what their officers are out there doing 24/7, 365, and more importantly, just how well they're doing it.
Absolutely. We thank them for their service. All right. Was it Wednesday when you had the high-speed chase?
Yes, Wednesday afternoon at late afternoon hours. I'm sure around 4 o'clock.
All right. So there was an incident where a police officer attempted a traffic stop on a suspect for reckless driving?
Yes, an incidence of reckless driving.
All right, this is at like 4th and Main Street.
4th and Main, and then the pursuit went, it started and stopped pretty quickly. ending at 8th in the area of 8th and Lloyd.
Right. All right. I was on the scene, and there were the car clipped a parked car. Hit two cars. Hit
and then two porches.
Yeah. It was quite a scene.
Yeah, and then there was the suspect bailed out of the car and took off on foot, and officers essentially ran him down.
Yeah, I talked to a couple people on the scene who said they saw the guy trying to run away, trying to leap a fence, and one woman I talked to said he got his coat caught on the fence.
okay.
So, all right, here's my question. How fast was this chase?
We review very thoroughly all pursuits. Now, this one's just a little bit over 36 hours ago, Greg, so that review's not done. I'll see that when it's done, but I can't give you any of the specifics on that right now.
All right. I did talk to a woman on the scene who lives across the street. Mm-hmm. She has two young kids. Her kids were standing next to her, all of about 3 feet high, and she was shaking, and she said, I'm so scared because my daughter just a couple minutes earlier was going to ride her bike around the block.
Right.
She was going to, and this is a quiet street, 8th Street, not a lot of traffic on it. And so imagine the thought of this car. I don't know how fast it was going, but it was certainly going fast in pursuit. How concerning is that when you're in a residential neighborhood pursuing somebody like that?
Any pursuit is very concerning. And that's pursuits are they're inherent in the degree of dangerousness, but that's a double-edged sword, right? Not pursuing individuals that are fleeing involves dangers too. So there are officers generally do not know why people are fleeing, and yes, sometimes they're fleeing for less serious matters. Maybe perhaps their license is suspended, but sometimes they've just committed or are in the process of committing some type of serious criminal activity. That is in and of itself an extraordinary danger to the public. And so not pursuing them can, in those instances, be equally as dangerous to the community. And unfortunately, those officers in those situations just do not know why the person's fleeing.
Let me ask you this, because I was told by someone who was listening to the scanner who said they heard that the pursuit was supposed to be called off when it got into the residential neighborhood. Do you know if that's true?
I haven't seen the review on that. I did hear some parts of the traffic.
Did it sound like that to you?
No, not exactly, Greg. There are other circumstances, let's call it other related circumstances, that question that you've asked there is not quite as black and white as it seems as though you've been told. But we'll review these, like I said before, we review all pursuits.
Did the officer, before the pursuit or during the pursuit, get the license plate number of the car? In other words, could he have gotten the license plate number, and once it got into a resident, and this is questions I'm sure that you folks review all the time,
yes,
but if you got the license plate number, then you don't have to.
Yes, those are all part of policy, they're part of the training, and they're part of the review. And again, this happened less than 36 hours ago. We do not have the review done yet. To do them properly, they take a little bit of time, and I haven't seen that yet, Greg.
All right. Do you investigate all pursuits, or are you investigating this pursuit specifically?
No,
because
we investigate all pursuits.
All right. Let me just ask you in general, as the police chief, when you see something like this and you see that the pursuit was in, I mean, it's dangerous anytime there's a pursuit. Does this concern you that this high rate of speed pursuit was going on a street like 8th Street?
Well, many of our pursuits do occur on streets. I mean, that's, what vast percentage of streets in the city of Fond du Lac are kind of like the 8th and Lloyd neighborhood, a significant number of them. So every case stands on its own merits and needs to be reviewed based on the totality of circumstances with that particular pursuit. So the that being said, the majority of the pursuits that we do review do end up having some type of residential neighborhood component to them.
Most of them,
as I said before, they're all dangerous, whether they're on Johnson Street, the frontage road, out onto Highway 41, in residential neighborhoods, they're all particularly dangerous.
Right. And the other thing is, a lot of these pursuits, they happen at night. But this is in the middle of the day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There's going to be kids, there's a possibility of kids. Thank God nobody was hurt. I mean, that's right. The first thing I thought. I thought, wow. I thought when I saw these kids and I talked to this woman, I talked to some other people there, I'm thinking there could have been somebody right there on the sidewalk. You know?
Yes, there could have been, Greg. And as I alluded to before, that's part of what needs to be taken into consideration. But again, officers do not understand, in most cases, why that individual is fleeing. That they could have just committed a homicide. They could have an abducted child in the car. Those are all variables that need to be balanced and weighed in totality.
Absolutely.
There are no black and white guidelines or clear-cut guidelines on when to pursue and when not to.
Right.
Again, each case has to be assessed on a case-by-case basis. And if there is determined to be a greater danger to the community in continuing a pursuit, as opposed to, so for instance, if it is verified and clear-cut that a license plate and or perhaps identity has been obtained, those are strong variables in discontinuing a pursuit. But it's, again, those are all variables that need to be taken into consideration on a case-by-case basis.
Right. And as you said, this is still under investigation at this point, and you haven't made that determination yet.
Right. And I do not want to be clear, because it's under investigation does not mean that there is a concern that that there was some type of inappropriate action. We review all pursuits, period.
Right. And if it was justified, that's that. If you determine that the pursuit could have been called off, then there would be further action after that. And
yeah, and you know, with virtually every pursuit, there are training points that come out of them because they are so dynamic. And unfortunately, you know, for those poor officers that find themselves in those situations, they're having to weigh and balance all of those facts and circumstances in what is literally, Greg, the blink of an eye and under pretty stressful circumstances, right?
Yeah.
And so all of those things need to be taken into consideration, and then you apply them to the policy in our training. And, you know, in many instances, there's, you know, it's like anything in life. There's you can look at things that were done really well, and then there's sometimes training or coaching points, or sometimes we'll determine training needs, or excuse me, policy revision needs, et cetera. So and that's the reason you do those reviews and those investigations.
All right. Fond du Lac Police Chief Bill Lamb. Bill, we greatly appreciate you joining us on the program this morning.
Thank you, Greg.